supplies us with his commandments and commands us to hear the cry of the shofar. Well, I kind of thought that was strange, so I asked the Lord, what does it mean just to hear? Everybody's supposed to hear the cry of the shofar. And he said to me, there's a hidden gospel meaning behind those four calls. The first one's a call to worship, right? So what do we do at worship? We listen to the Lord. Somebody sharing from God's word, and he showed me that the tekiah was also a call to hear the word of God. The shevarim is the call for repentance, and the gospel meaning behind that is a call to realize that I'm not walking with God and to turn and walk with God, and that is salvation. The third call, the call to assemble for war, that in the gospel meaning through that is a call to obey God's voice in a hostile environment, because we're actually fighting spiritual warfare behind enemy lines. And the fourth one, the victory cry, it's a call for healing, deliverance, and victory over evil, to overcome the world system. So those were the four calls. So Carl and I are going to blow them.
One more to make it three, which is the completion. Did anyone wake up on that one? The Feast of Trumpets, called Yom Teruah, Yom is day and Teruah is trumpet, is the day of the great blast or the great shofar blast. And the point of it is for an awakening. And in ancient Jerusalem, Israel, when the Lord spoke, or particularly at new moons, which was very significant in God's calendar, the trumpets would be blown, and the people would respond to it. We respond by clapping, and I think we do that because they're such good trumpet players. But the fact of the matter is God is reaching into your heart, and he's asking you, as Paul so well, capably spoke it out, you know, the call to wake up, the call to repentance, the call to, what's the third one? I got it written here. Spiritual warfare, and then the victory. Sums it all up, doesn't it? Okay, well, this is the first of the fall feasts. We enter into it tonight at sundown. So today, you're still finishing up the old year. And you're also finishing up what's called Shemitah. Is there anybody here that doesn't know what that's about yet? You all have read that word? And you all pronounce it properly? Okay, in Hebrew, contrary to how the Spanish people speak, the emphasis is on the last syllable. So it's Shemitah. A lot of people are saying Shemitah. I can't even say it in the Spanish way, but most people say it with the wrong emphasis. It's Shemitah. Some people shorten and go Shemitah, Shemitah. They just forget the middle syllable. Doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter, seriously, because God is doing something, okay? We just finished up the Shemitah year, which is the seventh year in what they call a sabbatical cycle, which is 7 years. This is out of the Old Testament. There's 7 years times seven equals 49 years. And at the end of seven sabbatical years, we have the 50th year, which is what we're entering into. I'll tell you when we're entering into it. Anyone know? Let's hear it. Not quite. Well, actually, no, you are right. I just found that out this morning. You're right, Steve. Hey, you get up here. Come here. Actually, most of the stuff I'd been studying said it started tomorrow with the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Jubilee year. But I think Steve is right. I just was reading that this morning, and I kind of went like this. I forgot it. But it is the 23rd on Yom Kippur. That is the day of, it's the day in ancient Israel they would blow the trumpets again at the end of the Day of Atonement, because you don't blow trumpets on the Day of Atonement. Right, Paul? At the very end, you blow it. And they make the pronouncement that the year of Jubilee has just begun. So that Wednesday night, we better make sure we do that. Okay.
So we are entering into the Jubilee?
We are entering in, and it'll be on, yes. The sounding of the shofar, Paul, I really appreciated how you explained it. It was really good. It does symbolize redemption, and because this was a gift that was given to Israel, it celebrates her redemption, although she hasn't fully achieved the fullness of it yet. But guess what? God has everything in his perfect timing, and he doesn't lose one who has entered in to the days of awe, the 10 days of awe that followed the blast of the trumpets, of returning to him. And many of the Jewish people right now, actually, they've been doing it for 30 days already, the previous 30 days to today, and they continue for 10 more days up to Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement. And they're repenting. They're repenting. Those 40 days, they are repenting for sins against the brethren, against each other. They need a lot of time to do that, because how often do we offend one another? Not usually on purpose, although that's been known to happen, but unintentionally. We've all been offended, and, you know, we're supposed to shake it off, and sometimes you really can. It's like, they didn't mean it. That was really a dumb thing they said. We have to be careful not to be slanderous. But on Yom Kippur, if they have repented sufficiently, by the time Yom Kippur comes, their hearts are clean, their spirits are clean, and they can go before God with a supposedly clean heart. In their theology, that's the way it works, and that's the way God ordered it for the people of the Old Testament. So they're being obedient to the call on their lives. And they go before God. And they come out of the day of Yom Kippur with the confidence that they've been received again for another year. And then the cycle begins again, you know. They overeat, they overdrink, they do this, they do that, they fight, they get divorced. The whole shebang, it's life, okay? None of you live that way, I know, because you're seated in the right hand in heavenly places, and that doesn't happen up there. But seriously, it's something we can actually learn from. When we study these Jewish cultural things and spiritual things, we say, well, that's Old Testament, it doesn't really apply to us. Where does it say that in the Bible? It says Jesus fulfilled the law, but if you break one jot or tittle of it, you've broken the whole thing.
So I think if we take it in the spirit of God, because he lives within us, and thank you for that song this morning, him in us is our reality. It really is. Our reality is the Lord is pleased with us all the time. We don't have to live in fear that he's going to cast us aside for our accidental sins. Hopefully there's not any real deliberate sins going on in this body, but sometimes that happens too. But what can we do about that? Do we have to wait for 10 days of awe to come before our mighty God and say, I'm sorry, create in me a clean heart, restore me to the joy of my salvation? We all know when we slip up. And when you do, you usually kind of walk around a little ick for a little bit of time. Get rid of it. Just go before God, and I'm sorry, Lord. With your help, with the Holy Spirit, this will be something that will become a victory in my life in the soon, like today or tomorrow. You know, soon. He can do that. We don't have to wrestle with it. So the last blast of the shofar occurs at the end of Yom Kippur. What other thoughts do you have about the last blast of the shofar? I can't hear you. Jesus returns. Yeah. So let's just quickly read these scriptures. You don't have to put them up unless you want to. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know what? Are you ready for that? Well, if it's the completion of the Day of Atonement, and you know if you're Jewish, but we know already, that you're clean in his sight. Boy, isn't that the perfect time for him to come back? I mean, if you knew he was coming at 4 p.m. this afternoon, what would you be doing at 2 p.m.? Oh, you're in the shower. Well, you'd be getting clean maybe, huh? All right. Hey, this is really funny. You know what? I've done 3 paragraphs. I got 3 pages, and I got 10 minutes. So, Lord, here we go. I'm going to do this really quick. Really quick, blowing the trumpet is the call to repentance. I'm going to read some scriptures from Joel because they're very critical. Joel 2:1, blow the trumpet in Zion. Zion is also a word that refers to the body of Christ. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. That's, you wouldn't be going like this. Yeah. You'd be going, oh, ho, 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 something's coming. For the day of the Lord is coming, okay? For it is at hand. Let's take that to our hearts today. Joel 2, 12 and 13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. That's what they do on Yom Kippur. So rend your heart and not your garments. Don't pretend to repent, really do it. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. It's sort of like, as parents, you really don't want to spank your kids. You're not allowed to anymore, but in the olden days, we were allowed to spank our kids. And it wasn't really the highlight of your day to have to do that, was it? You really wish they would have behaved themselves so you could just give them a glass of lemonade and a cookie instead of a swat. The Lord feels the same way. He does not delight in doing harm to us, but he will do whatever it takes to bring us into position to be ready for his return, because he wants us, he loves us, he paid a price for us that is immeasurable. Joel 2:15 and 16, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber. Let's talk about Jesus there. And the bride from her dressing room. That dress that doesn't have any spot or wrinkles. The Lord is coming. He's coming for his bride. And it's with the blowing of the trumpet in Zion. When this last trump blows on that last day of atonement, there's no more atonement, folks. That's the end of it. That's not a feast that's going to be memorialized in eternity, because eternity will not have sin. So, you know, work up your repentance muscles, and whatever besetting thing you have, allow God to take it away from you. So we can see that the trumpet judgments of Revelation, book of Revelation, there's seven trumps, correct? And I know, Steve, I got to spend half an hour with you someday and talk about end times. You know, it's like I always thought that the last trump in the book of Revelation, that's when Jesus is coming back. Quite possibly it is. I'm not going to write a book on it. But the last trump, I believe, is at the Day of Atonement. That is the last trump. That is the last warning we have. Because when he returns, there's no second chance. Right? Okay. So if we honor these feasts in the natural, in our day, right now, we will be continually reminded to be prepared. You don't want to be caught off guard, do you? I mean, seriously, if he was coming at 4 p.m. and you didn't know about it, wouldn't you be disappointed that you weren't ready necessarily? I think most of us live in that place of preparedness, but many people don't. So, okay, we talked about the Shemitah. It begins the year of Jubilee, and it does not begin the 10 days of awe. I'm sorry, it's at the end of that. All right, we talked about the sabbatical years. 10 sabbatical years would equal 70 years. It would be 10 times the groups of 7 equals 70. Well, we're in one of those years right now, and it's from, if you go back 70 years from today, this year, 2015, we're in 1945. In 1945 was the end of World War II. Great victory. Great victory. You know, the Lord works in cycles. He doesn't go from here to here to here to here to there. It's in cycles. And what happens before gets replayed, different details, but it's the same idea that gets redone. And we have friends who have gone to Japan and rung a Liberty Bell. And, you know, there's repentance for the sins of the past and identificational repentance. And it's been happening in Europe also. I'm not saying that that's what we need to do right now, but I'm just telling you, this is going on in the earth even as we sit here today. One of the results of this, well, 70 years ago was the release at Auschwitz when the Jews were set free. And today, Germany is opening up her gates to Muslims. There have been over 500,000 Muslims that have immigrated into Germany. That's a year. 500,000 a year have happened. And the speculation is perhaps they're acting out of a guilty conscience for what they did to the Jews. So they don't want to be accused again of refusing people. So they're going, choo, 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 choo. I saw a funny article that said, Frau Merkel. And I thought, oh, that's really funny. Isn't she like the president? I don't know what her title is, but calling her Frau is like saying Mrs. Obama or, you know, Mr. Obama rather than President Obama. There's no title in it, so to speak. But what's going on with this immigration that's happening in the earth ever since, was it 2011? When was the Tunisian uprising, the Arab Spring? What year was that? Anybody remember? Marilyn? Mac? 2012, February or something like that? Okay. That was the beginning. It's like the cork was let out, and what came forth was this huge uprising through the Middle East, and dictators were toppled, and in a way it was a breath of fresh air, like, oh, there's hope for our future, but in fact it released death. It has released death. Quite possibly one of those angels of death, in the one that circulated in Egypt for a while, just before the Israelites were released. There could be an angel of death circulating through Europe right now. Oh my gosh. So the Pope is coming shortly after. Let's see, he's coming 3 days, but he's coming to speak at the UN on the 25th. Intercessors, get on your knees. I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you why. This Pope, how many were raised Catholic? So how many of you know that Catholics don't like other religions? Huh? They were all going to hell, right? Remember that? Well, this Pope is putting a big cancellation on that statute of the Catholic Church, and he's embracing all religions. So before he speaks at the UN, he's having a religious service of all faiths, and probably some lack of faiths, too. But he wants to make peace with all religions. Why can't, you know, the guy that got beat up in Lakeview Terrace, why can't we all just get along together, you know? Oh, well, there's a lot to be said for that, and we are as guilty sometimes as the other one for our own prejudices. But we do have to get over that. We have to love people regardless of what they think or do. You know why? God does. He died for each and every Muslim. And we tend to forget that. We tend to sort of just write them off. But I'll tell you what, there's a growing body of believing Muslims. And we can be part of causing that to expand. But with this invasion, the people that are coming into Europe, there's turmoil in Europe right now because some of the countries are saying, no, we want to keep our culture. And others are saying, no, open the doors wide. Look what America did. America was a melting pot. They received everyone, except the Jews in World War II. But and look how great America is. We'll be great, too. The ones going against it are Great Britain and Hungary and Czechoslovakia for various reasons. But they're going, no, 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 no. Well, part of what's going to happen at this UN conference where the Pope is going to be speaking, they have what's called an Agenda 2030. It's a 15-year plan. It's titled Sustainable Development, and it starts with the climate control, and it goes into housing for every human being on the face of the earth. It goes to a certain amount of food for every mouth that's hungry. Its purpose is to, by 2030, establish global laws on the earth. So it's we're closer to the end than we think we are. And these are things that you don't read in the LA Times very easily because they don't spell out the details. And I don't say this to put fear into your heart. I say this for you to look up and realize your redemption is drawing nigh. You know? And you praise the Lord and you choose deliberately to let your light shine more and more brightly everywhere you go. And especially in the darker areas. You know, I used to live in San Francisco and I had friends who say, how can you live there? It's so dark. And I go, yeah, I just go in. I bring light wherever I go. You know, we all do, but some of us get afraid. What are we afraid of? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And, you know, Richard had a word this morning. He was talking about warfare that's going to be coming, and yeah, it is. You all know that, right? This is no surprise to anyone, correct? Okay, well, the warfare, how is the kingdom of God taken? By force, by violence. And we have a kingdom coming, and it's God's kingdom, and we're part of his army. What are we afraid of? Huh? It's his banner over us. Hey, some of us might lose our lives. Do you really care? Huh? I know Steve is as anxious as anyone to be up there full time, you know? So cast out fear. Trust the Lord that he's holding you in the palm of his hands. Okay, I'm going to conclude because why was I going to conclude? We're going to do music afterwards. I know, that's what I was just going to throw in. One of the shofar blasts that Paul didn't mention, I can find this where I wrote Tim's name down. Tim, come on up. Huh? You better hurry. No, you're good. One of the shofar, I had it on another piece of paper. Anyways, one of the shofar blasts, and I think it's the third one, the three where they're wailing and they have broken relationships and sin, etc. Well, as they're examining themselves, one of the things that they feel the Lord is looking at, and I think we should think about this too, is how have we treated our brothers and sisters? Have we met their needs? The Guillermo and Graciela have been just a stronghold here at Jubilee, meeting the needs of the body of Christ. It's just amazing. And I mean, it's a flag we can wave from Jubilee and be thankful that God has stationed them there. Somebody went to one of their Bible studies the other day for the first time and came back and made this report. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I thought, yay, God, you know, that's right here in our front yard. Tim now and his wife Bev are in the process of revitalizing the Noah's ministry. Noah, what do you call it?
Noah Project.
You take it. Short.
Real, real short. We really believe that Katrina, this disaster of Katrina, showed how society will be if something happens, a disaster happens. And what we found out during that disaster is that single women who had no one else to rely on, and widows, were really roughly treated. They were raped. People came and stole their food. By the time the rescue workers came, they wouldn't even let them through their front door because they were so terrorized and traumatized by what happened during that disaster. And we really believe that James chapter 1 says, undefiled religion is taking care of the widow, okay? And if you get into the Greek, it actually goes beyond the word care. So part of the Noah Project that we, Bev and I, really feel like the Lord was showing us was, it's like an insurance policy. You guys have an insurance policy for your house, and you pay all this money, and if your house doesn't fall down, you go, great, it didn't fall down. Where do I sign up for next year's insurance policy? Well, what we would like to do is organize all the single women that do not have anyone else to help them in the event of a disaster, and the widows to sign up. We've already got about 20 people that we just went around and asked them, you know, because we know their situation. So if you're a widow or a single mom or a single lady that you have no other family or resources around here except this church, please come to the Jacob's Dream Fair and sign up. We're also looking for houses of refuge. This is what this whole thing's called about, is houses of refuge. We believe that there's enough people out here, like us, who have an extra bedroom, maybe a garage is better than nothing. You have a guest house or something like that, and the Lord is speaking to you right now. Come and sign up, because what we're going to try to do is put together ladies that are geographically close to you, and then we're also asking for captains over a little micro-region to help the houses of refuge and the ladies get together and to kind of shepherd that. Okay, so come and see us back at the Jacob Dream Fair and get some of Ryan and Sherry's fresh lemonade that I squeezed last night.
I included Tim today because this work fits in with end times. And I personally believe we're entering into end times, but even if we're not, this should be part and parcel of our lives, okay? So the Lord said, you know, when you gave some food to that person, the person he's judging says, when did I do that, Lord? He says, you did it unto me when you did it to them, basically. So that cold glass of water, that piece of bread, the extra food from Channel of Blessing to your neighbors, those are things that we all should be more consciously embracing in these last days. Not everyone lives in the place of abundance. And I can imagine how difficult it's going to be for those who start at the bottom. Well, not so difficult. They won't lose any money in the stock market. That's nice. Isn't that comforting to know? Versus, yes, or they don't have gold buried under a tree and they have to go buy a metal detector to remember where they buried it. You know, it's like we are entering into a period of change. That is going to be mind-blowing as these things unravel at a very quick pace in the days to come. But what it's doing is we're getting bigger and bigger glimpses of the kingdom of God. And as we rise up to the calling on our lives And Steve, you're preaching your book. Oh my gosh. It's so eye-opening. It's like, why are we not all entering into this place? Why are we sitting around sometimes just sucking our thumbs and watching a stupid movie? Why are we not continually pressing in to understand what God is doing today in the earth? I think it's great that we can live in the clouds, you know, and see the face of God. But why does he give that to us? To make us stronger in our everyday life so that we can bring the kingdom of God and combat the forces of evil and darkness, that we have something to give. The more you know him, the more you can fight with and for him. So his presence, oh, Jubilee is such a great place for being in the presence of the Lord. The waves of glory are coming with his presence. Have any of you been swept up in them? Have you just rolled? I mean, I'm not a surfer or a bodyboarder, or I don't even like the sand. But imagine, the Lord gave me visions years ago of heaven would be like laying in a stream of water, and it's just bubbling over me, and it's washing everything off. It's like the waves of glory are coming, and they're actually already here. Throw yourself into it. And we're going to see his presence being established at a higher level throughout the whole earth. So some of us can sit here and say, well, how come I don't feel that? Why am I not getting a wave of glory over my life? Well, keep looking for it. Keep looking for it. Seek his face. He will reveal himself. Do you know why? It's not reserved just for people like Pastor Steve. It's reserved for each and every one of us. It's like we have to, not we don't have to. God allows us to be lazy. But we're going to reap what we sow. So why not press in while the days are still, well, we can still do that. Manifested sons, that's another lesson we'll talk about another time. But I love, Steve is the first one I heard this from. And I've just been letting it roll over in my mind, and I thought about it. Jesus is going to return in us first, and then he's going to return in the flesh, in his own immortal body. But he's returning for that bride. Maybe there'll be no song. I mentioned a couple of you people, the Torah portion for this week, which is the Bible passages that the Jewish people read around the whole earth. It's the same one. Everyone reads the same one. This week that started last night at sundown, they began to read from Isaiah 61 and 62. And I'm just going to read a portion of Isaiah 61 that the Jewish people are reading. And if you have time this afternoon at 2 while you're waiting for the Lord to come back at 4, read Isaiah 62. But Isaiah 61, verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has done it and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. He's done that. You don't earn it. You just go with the flow of God and do what he asks you to do. As a bridegroom adores his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, and we were told earlier by Joel, come out of your dressing room, bride. Come out, you're finished, the work is done. As a bride adorns herself with her jewels, listen to this. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, what does the sprout do to come up? Absolutely nothing, right? It just does what it was created to do. It just comes up because of the grace of God shining on it. And the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. When we pray for nations, I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest privileges in the world, because you are part and parcel with what God is doing. You know, and it's, to me, it's so important to be aware of current events so that I can pray effectively. You know, when you are really in desperate need of prayer and someone goes, oh, bless you, it's like, thank you, I appreciate that. But what did it really do for you? Come on. When someone prays because your leg is broken and they pray healing into those bones and on and on and on, it's like you leave that little prayer session and go, I believe, I can be healed, I am healed. And you enter into that place of faith. Ditto when you're praying for the nations, and I pray that you all pray for the nations, but Marilyn, I appreciate so much your ministry in that and coordinating that on a regular basis, and that this church has embraced the nations. It's such an honor and privilege that God has given to Jubilee. And if we make light of it, it's like someone ever, did you ever go and give a gift to somebody that was really precious to you and you just thought this will delight them? And they go, yeah, what's this? Has that ever happened to you? Especially when you give gifts to your kids, you know? It's like, dang it, what did I bother? I thought they would love this. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. So people of God, rise up in who he's made you to be. You are a seed planted in the ground. All you have to do is look up, let his face shine upon your face, and open your eyes, maybe just peek a little bit and see if you can see his face. And all these things will be done unto you. So fear not, little flock. The Lord is with you and he loves you with an everlasting love. Thank you. But we just thank you that you've given us the honor and privilege to acknowledge who you are. We thank you for the revelation you've given to us of who you are, and that we can just bask in it. I pray, oh God, that every heart will be opened, whether they're believers now or not, oh God. Pour your Holy Spirit. You promised to pour your Spirit upon all flesh, and that your sons and daughters would prophesy. And we do that here at Jubilee, Lord, but so many churches don't, and so many people don't have a clue of who you are. I pray that your Spirit would break through the dark places, oh God, that salvation would become rampant. We particularly pray for the Muslim people that have been displaced, oh God. Yeah, there's a lot of fear involved with that on both sides of the card, but Jesus, we pray for salvation for these Muslims. Father, as they come into Europe, awaken America. Take away the fear, oh God, and let us come forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can break every chain, every bond. Father, let us partner with you in this change that's coming on the earth right now, politically, socially, culturally, and economically. Father, as it comes, we stand in complete peace, trusting you, and we praise you because we see your kingdom come as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth. We praise you for that, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, let's let the trumpet blast one more time.